The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. Today's daf is being studied in honor of the wedding of Elisheva and Robert Kaduri Elias from Sydney, Australia, dedicated by our good friends David and Ilana Meyer. Hashem Yishmerim V'Chayim. Amen. Daf Chaf. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Marat Zekenati Yafa Bat Sara Umor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sara Rabbi Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenihem V'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Refuat Shelema Rachel bat Sarah v'Rachel, Sarah bat Rachel v'Sarah Ruhama bat Rachel v'Moshe ben Dina. Ella refan lahem, refuat nefesh, refuat aguf, refuatam kerabat bo v'chen yirasom v'nomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yutet Amud Bet, and we are 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before they get wide. Just to review where we're holding in this sugya, we learned an opinion above of Rabbi Akiba. Rabbi Akiva's opinion was that if, let's say, the Megillat Sota was erased before its time, which means, let's say, they erased it before the Mincha was brought. Normally, you have to erase the Megillat Sota after her Mincha is brought. They erased it early. And then she comes along and she says she doesn't want to drink. She claims she doesn't want to drink. So Rabbi Akiva said, sorry, once the Megillat Sota is erased, we force her to drink the Megillat Sota. She's forced. So the Gemara is going to challenge that premise. Do you actually force her? So the Gemara says, "Besavar Rabbi Akiva, mashkin ota ba'al korha." Does Rabbi Akiva indeed hold that you give her to drink against her will? Vehatanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kalbus shel barzel, matilin letoch piha. They used to put a certain metal apparatus, probably in the shape of like a horseshoe, that they used to stick in her mouth in order to keep her mouth wide open. It was like curved and had two points at the end. They would stick it in there, wedge it in her mouth to keep her mouth open. Why would they do this? So the Gemara says, in order to give her to drink against her will. We'll read that inside. The Gemara's language is kalbus shel barzel, an iron kalbus. Matilin letoch piha she'im nimcheka megila. In the event that the megila was erased, ve'amra, and she said, "Eni shota, I don't want to drink." Me'arerin ota u'mashkin ota ba'al korha. You force it down her against her will. Amar Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva says no. Klum anu sirichim ela lebotka. What's the whole purpose of the waters? You want to check her out to see if she's innocent or not. Vehalo beduka veomedet. By her not wanting to drink, that's tantamount to an admission. Why wouldn't she want to drink? Must be because she knows that she's going to blow up. So by not drinking, that's as if she's saying, I did it. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says in this braita, you never have to force it down her. Once she says no, it's finished. Game over. Divorce and finished. So therefore, the question is, how did Rabbi Akiva tell me earlier that you force her to drink against her will? But in this braita, Rabbi Akiva says that when she says she doesn't want to drink, that's equivalent to an admission that she did it. So how do we square off the two statements? Well, the braita continues before we answer. Gemara continues. Ela, this is Rabbi Akiva talking. Ad shelo karev ha-kometz. Before the kometz, which is the mincha, before the kometz is brought, yichola lahazorba, she can retract. However, mishikarava kometz, once the kometz is brought, ena yichola lahazorba. So then Rabbi Akiva makes a statement which the Gemara will analyze immediately, that it depends. before the kometz, she has rights to retract, but after the kometz is brought, too late, she has no retraction. So the Gemara says, "V'le'tamech tikshi lach higufa." Ask a question on the braita itself. Mishikaraba kometz ena yuchola lahazorba. You told me that once the kometz is brought, she can't say I'm not drinking. Why not? V'halo beduka ve'omedet. I thought according to Rabbi Akiva, you just told me that once she says she's not drinking, it's over. It's as if she admitted. So what are you telling me in the braita itself? Once the kometz was brought, so now the deen is, she has to drink. Why does she have to drink? Once she says she's not drinking, that's already the biggest proof that what? That she did it. So why does Rabbi Akiva say in the braita itself, it seems he's contradicting himself. In one place you're telling me that once she says I'm not drinking, it's an admission. So then what do I care after the kometz? Once the kometz is brought, she says I'm not drinking, it should be an admission. Why then does he say, no, once the kometz is brought, she cannot not drink anymore, she has to drink. So the Gemara says, no, I'll explain it to you. The Gemara says, Nakashya, ha dekahadra ba mahmat retita, the ha dekahadra ba mahmat biriyuta. It depends why she doesn't want to drink. Either she's confidently not wanting to drink, or she's not drinking out of fear. And the Gemara explains. V'achi kamar, kol mahmad biriyuta. If the reason why she doesn't want to drink is because she's confident, she's sure of herself, she's not scared, klal klal lo shatya. Then I don't care when she says she doesn't want to drink. We assume that she's guilty, and she never had intention to drink, which means she was pulling us on a string the whole time. Yeah, I'm going to drink. Meanwhile, in her mind, she's knowing good and well, she's not going near those waters. She's confident she's not touching the waters. And therefore, when she comes along and tells the Kohanim later on, I'm not drinking. By the way, we say, this lady over here is guilty. And therefore, I don't care when she says, whether she says before the kometz or after the kometz, any time it's coming out of that, she's not scared, she's doing it because she's confident, so therefore the deen is guilty immediately, and therefore she does not drink. However, the Gemara says, but if you see that the reason why she doesn't want to drink is really because she's scared, which means, really, she, let's say in her mind, she believes she's innocent, and she would drink the waters, but she's scared. She doesn't think the waters are going to work. She thinks maybe it's going to backfire, that even though she's innocent, she might still blow up. So she's nervous to drink the waters at all, because she doesn't know, she doesn't trust me. Maybe the waters are going to blow her up regardless. So you see her shaking. So when you see her shaking, the Gemara says, "Ad shelo karava kometz," until the kometz was brought, "De akati lo imchok megillah," where the megillah was not written, was not erased yet. "Ina me imchok megillah deshlo kedin," or they erased it, let's say, mistakenly early. Kohanim, by the Kohanim, that the Mahki, that they erased it, Matzi Hadraba, she's allowed to retract. Mishikarava Kometz, but once the Kometz was brought, the Bedin Avid Kohanim, the Mahke, lo Matzi Hadraba, which means the Gemara is coming out with a conclusion like this. And this is the clarity that you need to get in this Sugya. It all depends, according to the Rabbi Akiva, on one really factor. What's the reason why she's retracting? That can be one of two ways. She's either retracting because she's confident, she's not scared, or it could be she's nervous. Now let's discuss both scenarios again. Could be the lady over here, she doesn't want to drink, and she never has any intention to drink. So they erase the Megillah, and they're doing the whole process. She comes along and says very confidently, I'm not drinking. We interpret that, no matter when she says it, you're guilty. You're not drinking, that means you know these waters are going to work, and therefore you don't want to drink, and therefore you never had an intention to drink. You are not, that's why you were cool the whole time. You knew you're not drinking these waters. Guilty, goodbye. Next case. That's when Rabbi Akiva says you don't force her. However, which case did Rabbi Akiva say you force her? When you see her attitude. How can you see her attitude? She comes into the Beit HaMikdash initially, and she says, I'll drink. But you see her nervous. And then, when they're about to give her the drink, she says, no, I don't want to drink. And you see, she's shaking. So then, with this lady, you could assume that could be she's really innocent. It's just that she's nervous, she doesn't want to drink the waters. To her, we give a dispensation. If she says she doesn't want to drink before the kometz was brought, then already you say, okay, you don't have to drink, we'll give her a bite. She'll not have to drink the waters. We're not going to force her. However, if she does that, even out of fear, after the kometz is brought, too late already. Now we're already deep into the process. Even if it's out of fear that she retracted, she is still forced to drink. So therefore, above, when we learned that Rabbi Akiva says, you force her, it's in one case. Fear after the kometz. But any other case, fear before the kometz or confidently at any time, you're going to force her to drink. So now the Gemara says, Kasha ad Rabbi Akiva ad Rabbi Akiva. Now we have a contradiction on one statement of Rabbi Akiva against another. What's the question? Hatam amar mechika me'akiva, ve'acha amar kometz me'akiv. Which is a technical question. Above we said that what is the proper time that the lady cannot retract anymore. So we said at the time of the erasing, the first braita said, Rabbi Akiva said, once they erase it, there's no more retraction. Now we said in this braita that she can retract all the way up until the kometz is brought. Make up your mind. Now we're not changing the case. It's talking about a case where she's scared, she's retracting in that case over there. But you gave a different cutoff point. Earlier your cutoff point is once it's erased. Now you give me the cutoff point once the kometz was brought. Gemara answers very simply. Okay, it's two students that have different opinions in what Rabbi Akiva said. That happens a lot of time in Shas, where a rabbi will make contradictory statements. So the way we answer it is, two students were learning under that rabbi, and each student understood him or heard him in a different way. So then they were both reporting what they heard. One student heard Rabbi Akiva say, the cutoff point is once they erase it. After they erase it, she cannot retract anyone. Another student heard, no, ad shekarav hakometz. Ibayilu, the Gemara has a question. Amra, let's say she says like this, the lady. Eni shota, mahmad briyuta. She's confident. She comes along and tells the Kohanim, I'm not drinking. And we see she's not nervous at all. And what do we say normally in the case? That's it, guilty. Goodbye, go home, get a divorce. It's as if she said that she did it. Vehazra veamra shota ani. But then she comes along and says, no, I changed my mind, I'm going to drink. Now how do you interpret that over there by changing her mind? Mao, kevan de amra eni shota. Once she says, I'm not drinking, timi'a ani ka'amra. Finished. It's as if she's saying, I'm guilty. Vekevan de ahazik nafsha betum'a. And once she establishes herself betum'a, lo matza hadraba. She can't retract. Finished. Once you admit guilt, there's no word recanting your testimony. Or Dilma, well, maybe I could say it like this: Kevan de amra shota ani. Since she retracted, said, "You know what? I'll drink." Galia da'ata de mahmad bi'itutahu de amra. Then maybe we could assume that when she said initially that she doesn't want to drink, it was only out of fear, because you see, she changed her mind. Maybe the later admission that she says she wants to drink will interpret what she said before when she said she doesn't want to drink, that she was only doing it out of fear, because now she's saying she'll drink. If that's the case over there, so then we make a difference. And if she's really saying it out of fear, then we let her drink. We don't automatically say that she is teme'ah. Again, get the question again. We have a lady over here that she was confidently, she said, I'm not drinking. Now normally we say, game over, you're not drinking, teme'ah, goodbye. But this case over here, she said, I'm not drinking. And then later on, she changed her mind, you know what, I'll drink. So one of two options. Either you say, too late. Once you said you're not drinking, you admitted that you're teme'ah, finish. It's over. You cannot change what you said. Or do you say like this? Once she comes along later and says, no, I'll drink, could be that interprets us to say that earlier when she said she wasn't drinking, she was scared. That's why she didn't want to drink. Now, if that's the reason why she was saying, because she was scared, she doesn't want to drink, then what does the law say? We allow her to drink. That as long as it's out of fear, so therefore there's no issue. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers over here, no answer. The Gemara says, Tiku. The Gemara says, you have to wait for the Awa Navi to answer this question. So again, let's just review this sugya quickly before we go to the next issue. Comes out according to the Rabbi Akiva, sometimes you'll force her to drink against her will. Actually, it's one case. The case is where the lady came along and said, I'm not drinking, and she was scared. You can see she's scared. Then you force her, because she's scared. Maybe she's really innocent. She's just nervous to drink because she doesn't know what's going to happen to the waters. Then you force her to drink. However, if she's confident and she says, I'm not drinking, finished, then she's like saying, Teme'ah. There's nothing to force her. What are we going to force her? She's saying she's Teme'ah. Comes the Gemara and has a question now. Gemara's question is, Amar Abu Dishmuel, Sarik Shigiten Mar Letoch HaMayim. New point. You have to put bitter, something bitter, into the waters. Mai Ta'ama, the Amar Kera, Ne HaMarim, Shemarim Kevar, that they are bitter already. Which means even before you erase the name of God into the waters are called the bitter waters. How are they bitter? So the Gemara is learning over that you have to put something bitter into the waters to make them bitter from the inception, from the beginning. Comes the next Mishnah and says, Ad shelo nimhaka megillah. Now we move a little faster. Ad shelo nimhaka megillah, until the Megillah was erased, Amra inishota. She comes along and says, I don't want to drink. So what do you do with the Megillah? Megillatan nignezet. Well, they didn't erase the Megillah yet, so no problem. She says, I don't want to drink. So they put the Megillah in Giniza, which means in a certain area next to the Hechal, they had a place where they would put old Kitve Kodesh, that there was no use for them anymore. So we'd put in that section over there in order that it shouldn't become, you know, humiliated or degraded. So they would put it in Giniza. Now, what do you do with the Minha? You can't bring the Minha anymore because she's not going to drink. She doesn't want to go through the process. So what they do is they have to scatter the Minha in a place called the place of the dish, in the place of the ashes. That's actually in the Azaran, the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. That's where they would burn Pisule Kodche Kodashim. Good. So you have to burn the Minha, not on the Mizbeach again, in the place of the ashes. Ve'en Megillata Keshera Lehashkot Bas Sota Acheret. And you can't use the Megillah of the Sota for another lady. Finish. Once it was made with the intention for one lady, you can't use it again for somebody else. Nimhaka Megillah. Oh, but once the Megillah was already erased, like we just learned, Ve'amra Teme'a Ani, well, she comes and admits, she says, I did it. She's not saying she doesn't want to drink, she's just saying, I did it. So it's over. Hamayim Nishpachim. Well, you got to pour the waters out, you can't use the waters anymore. So they're poured out, right? Because now you don't have a Safek anymore. You only drink the waters when we don't know if she's innocent or guilty. In this case, we know good and well, she is guilty. Uminhata mitpazirit al bet hadesh, and they take the minha, right? Her minha, and they scatter it over the bet hadesh in the place of the ashes. Now, nimheka megillah. Next case, let's say the Megillah was erased. Okay, it's in the water. Ve'amra eni shota. That's the case we just had. She says, I'm not drinking. And the way we learned it above, it's talking about when, let's say, you see that she's nervous, she's scared. So then what do you do in that case? Me'ar'irin ota yufursa umashkin ota ba'al korha. You have to put it down her throat against her will. Ena maspeket lishtot. Now she starts to drink, let's say. Right? She takes a sip of the water. Ad shepaneha morikot. All of a sudden her face starts to turn green. Ve'aneha boltot. All of a sudden her eyes start to bulge out. Vihi mitmalet gidin. And all of a sudden, all her veins start to pop out. You see all the veins coming out of her face and, you know, all of her body over there. Right? As she says, the veins actually in her cheeks start to swell. And you see all her, lines coming out of her skin as she's drinking it over there, which means she's going to blow up any second. So what does the Mishnah say you do? Omrim, the Kohanim say, Hotsi'uha, get her out of here. Shelot tameh azara. We don't want her to defile the azara. She's in a place over there. If she dies, she's tameh. She'll be tameh met. You can't have her in the Beit HaMikdash in that area. We'll see exactly why not later on. But they say, get her out of here. And they move her to a different location. Im yesh la zechut. Oh, this is a concept we learned earlier in the Masechet on Dav Vav. Now the Gemara is going to go into it. If she has a zechut, we'll see exactly what type of zechut later on. She has a merit. Haita tolala. The zechut would suspend the punishment. Now I say, not that it would get her off innocently, totally. It would just suspend it to a later time. And the Gemara explains, yes, zechut tola shana ahat. Sometimes the zechut will suspend the punishment for 1 year. Yes, zechut tola bet shanim. Sometimes 2 years. Yes, zechut tola gimal shanim. And sometimes it even will suspend it for 3 years. Mikan Omer ben Azai. It is because of this law ben Azai taught, Hayav Adam lelamed et bito Torah, that a father has an obligation to teach his daughter Torah. Why? What does one thing have to do with the other? She'im tishte teda shazekut tolala. So she'll come across this Mishnah and she'll learn that sometimes the waters, if she has a zechut, will be suspended. Now, why does she have to learn Torah for this reason? So there's different interpretations said. One interpretation is that so she'll know the law and she won't make fun of the waters. Could be she's going to have a friend, this lady. And she knows the friend is guilty. She knows the friend did it and committed the avon. And she's going to see her friend go to the Beit HaMikdash, drink the waters, and nothing happened to her. So this lady, if she didn't learn Torah, she's going to say, the waters, they told me she's going to blow up. They told me there's a whole business here. The whole thing's a fake. It doesn't work. By teaching your daughters Torah, they'll know all the details. Not only the basics. They'll know, there's a inyan of zechut. Could be this girl had a mitzvah, and therefore it's being suspended. So it's a mitzvah to teach the girls Torah so they'll not come and speak disparagingly against the waters when they see sometimes it doesn't work. Now at least they're educated. They know exactly why that is so. That's Ben Azai's opinion. You got to teach your daughters Torah. Comes the Gemara and says, a totally opposite opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kol ha-melamed bito Torah. Anybody that teaches their daughter Torah, let's get the right text over here. All right, we'll go with the text of our Mishnah. Lomda tiflut. You're teaching her immorality. Now, this is a very difficult statement to understand. It's one thing you want to say, maybe you can't teach your daughter Torah, but how is teaching a girl Torah teaching her immorality? So we'll wait for the Gemara to explain exactly what that means, but we continue. Rabbi Yoshua says, Rotze isha bekav v'tiflut. A lady would rather less money, kav is a small measure of money, v'tiflut, but she wants a husband's companionship. I mean, she'd rather, like the Mefashim are explaining over here, the companionship of the husband, to be with him, even though he might not be able to support her so well. Again, she'd rather a kav, a small measure of panasa, but tiflut, but to be with the husband. Mitet kavin, more than 9 kavin, 9 measures of panasa, ufrishut, but abstention, and her husband not being with her. And the Gemara will explain what this has to do with our Mishnah. Hu haya omer. Now, he used to say to be Yoshua, there's different people that are considered mebalei olam, destructive characters. We're just going to read it now. We're going to wait for the Gemara later on to explain us each one of these characters. The first character is a hasid shote. He makes himself like he's a hasid, but he's a fool. Virasha arum, a wicked man that's cunning. Viisha pirusha, a lady that is pirusha, she abstains. She makes herself like she's very modest. Umakot pirushin, and a fellow that bangs his head in the wall. He makes it feel like he's a sadiq, that he doesn't even look where he's walking, and he walks into the wall and bangs his head. We'll see exactly. He wants to show that he's anav and sanua. We'll see exactly. Hare elu mibale olam. The Gemara says, common denominator about all these characters. They're mibale olam. They destroy the world. And now we begin the Gemara's analysis of the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Shimuel Mishum Rabbi Meir. This is the story. The Gemara is telling us about Rabbi Meir. He says, "Kishayiti lamed Torah etz Rabbi Akiva. When I studied Torah next to Rabbi Akiva, my rabbi, hayiti matil kankantum letoch hadiyo. I used to put kankantum. Kankantum is a certain like a chemical that they used to put, maybe gall nuts that they used to put into the ink, and this would make the ink unerasable." So you couldn't erase it. So he told Rabbi Akiva, he said, you know what, I put kankantum. He says, Aiti matil kankantum tachadiyo. Velo amar di davar. Rabbi Akiva never said anything to me. He knew I was doing it, it seems, and he was fine with it. Ukshebati etz Rabbi Ishmael. However, when I came in front of Rabbi Ishmael, amar li beni, ma melachtecha. He asked me, Rabbi Ishmael, what do you do? What's your career? Amarti lo lablar ani. I told him, I'm a sofer, I'm a scribe. Amar li beni, he told me, my son, heve zahir, be very careful at this profession, shemelachtecha melechet shamayimi. Your sir, your work is the work of God, melechet shamayim. Shema tahsir ot ahat. Be careful, you might miss one letter in the Torah, you know, by mistake you might miss a letter, or tatir ot ahat, or you're going to add one letter, Nimset ata mahariv et kol ha'olam kulo, and you're going to destroy the entire world. For example, the Gemara said, Rashi gives an example. The pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Emet. If you're going to make a mistake and miss the letter Aleph, instead of saying the word Emet, you're going to say Met. God forbid, Elokim, and then you're going to say the word Met. Just be very careful. You miss one letter, or the letter He from the word Elohim. You're going to write instead Elim, which is obviously not God. You're going to change the name. Or for that matter, you're going to add a letter. If you write instead of Bereshit Bara Elohim, if you add a Vav, and you're going to write Bereshit Baru Elohim, you're going to make Chas V'Shalom that there's more than one God, plurality, that the gods created. So Rabbi Yishmael warned the Rabbi Meir, be careful. You have a very sensitive job. You're doing Melechet Shamayim. Be careful not to add a letter or subtract a letter. Amarti lo. So Rabbi Meir says, you know what I told Rabbi Yishmael? Davar echad yeshli she'ani matil letoch ha'diyuz. I want you to know, Rabbi, there's an item that I put in the ink. Ve'kankantum shemo. And it's called kankantum. Does he give you the English on how he explains the word kankantum? Just kankantum. Yeah, it's a type of chemical, again, that they would put into the...
solidifying.
What is it called?
Solidifying ink.
Yeah, that would cause it to not become a race. It's one of those English terminology for the kankantum. Amali. So Rabbi Ishmael says, V'chi matilin kankantum letoch ha'diyot. He says, hold it. Do you put kankantum in the ink? HaTorah amra umaha. When it comes to the sota, you have to be able to erase the parashah of the sota. Ktab shiyuchan limhot. It's got to be a type of ink and a type of writing that is erasable. So he told him, what are you putting kankantum in the ink for? You're not going to be able to erase the parashah of the sota. Good, that's the two stories. So now the Gemara questions. Maika amarle umaika mehadirle. What was this conversation between the Rabbi Ishmael and what did the Rabbi Meir answer him? Which means the conversation is a little strange. Gemara says like this. Rabbi Ishmael tells him, listen, oh, you're a sofer. Be very careful. You're involved in melechet shamayim. You better be careful not to add a letter, take away a letter. So he says, don't worry, Rabbi, I put kankantum in the ink. What was he answering? He's telling him one thing, and he's telling him about kankantum in the ink. So the Gemara doesn't even understand the dialogue between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, hachika amarle. Lo mebaya bahasirot v'yiterot. Don't worry, Rabbi, about missing a letter or adding a letter. Debakiana. He says, don't worry, I'm an expert. I know exactly which letters have which words, have which letters, and so on. Ela afidu lemehash lezvuv. I'm even worried, and I took a precaution, if a fly shall come. Didilma ate. Maybe the fly is going to come when the ink is still wet. V'yativ atagad didalit. And it's going to sit on the letter Dalid, on the crown of the Dalid that protrudes from the letter on the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's going to sit on that Dalid and it's going to scratch off the corner of the Dalid. Umahik le umajvi le resh. And it's going to make it into a resh. And God forbid the pasuk should be read, Hashem Chas V'Shalom Acher. So he says, Davar acher yeshli. Therefore, I took care of that. How shani matil letoch hadiyo, that I put into the diyo vekankantum shemo, which means like this: by putting kankantum in the ink, even if the fly erases, there'll still be a little mark on the cloth itself. Because we said once you put kankantum, you really can't erase it totally. So he says, not only do I take care of haserot in yeterot, not only am I concerned about missing a letter or adding a letter, but I put kankantum in the ink just in case if a fly should erase a little of the dalid, it's not going to be read acher. You know why? Because the kankantum doesn't allow it to become erased in totality. Therefore, it's going to have a little trace of the original letter. So now we understand the conversation. He was telling me, you better be careful. He says, not only am I careful on what you're talking about, I'm even careful about a far-fetched case of a fly, scratching off the letter dot, and therefore I took a precaution by putting kankantum in the ink that will not happen, because the fly is not going to be able to erase the entire letter, because there's always going to be a trace. So let's just review where we're holding over here. He went to the Rabbi Akiva, he told him, put kankantum in the ink. Rabbi Akiva didn't tell him anything. He went to the Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael says, what? You put kankantum in the ink? What are you talking about?
How can you do that? Megillat Sota. You got to erase it. It's got to be erasable. This is not erasable. So the Gemara says, Ini, we have a contradiction. Third white line. Behat Tanya Amar Bimeir. Kishayiti Lamed Torah Etzer Rabbi Ishmael. Says, when I went and studied Torah by Rabbi Ishmael, Hayiti Matil Kankantum Letochadiyo. I put Kankantum into the ink. Velo Amar Li Davar. And he didn't tell me anything. And right away, you have a contradiction. We just said that when Rabbi Meir went to Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Ishmael told him, what are you doing? Now we have a story that says that Rabbi Ishmael didn't tell him anything. Kshebati etz Rabbi Akiva, when I came to Rabbi Akiva, asra alai. He forbade it. The exact opposite. In the first story, Rabbi Akiva didn't tell him anything, and in this story, Rabbi Akiva was osering it. So comes the Gemara and says, Kashya shimush ha-shimush, Kashya asra ha-asra. So the Gemara has a double question. Number one, where did Rabbi Meir learn? Right? It's mashma that he learned originally by, the first story is told he learned by Rabbi Akiva. According to this over here, it's mashma he learned by Rabbi Ishmael, which means it's mashma, the order. Initially it says what? First he learned by Rabbi Akiva, and then he went to Rabbi Ishmael. In the second story it says, first he went to Rabbi Ishmael to study, then he went to Rabbi Akiva. So besides the contradiction in opinions, you have a contradiction in history over here. Who did Rabbi Meir study first? Did he study by Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Ishmael? And you have another question, what? In one case, Rabbi Akiva didn't tell him anything. And in the second case, over Rabbi Akiva told him, it's asur to put kankantum. So the Gemara says, Bishlama shimush ashimush la kasha. We have no problem with the history. Why? Initially, we could say to Bimi learned by the Biakiva. Kevan de lo matze kam aliben, but he couldn't understand them. It was too difficult to understand them initially. Why? Because the Biakiva was such a genius. He was able to show on any halakha reasons why it should be tamer, and reasons why it should be tahor, reasons why it should be mutar, reasons why it should be. So he got so confused. And every single halakha, he didn't understand the logic because Rabbi Akiva was able to spin it any which way that was possible. So he says, you know what? I got to get clarity first in the law. I got to get my halachot clear. What's the deen? Then I can go back to Rabbi Akiva maybe and go into it in depth. So it says, Vegamar Gamra, Atal Kamed Rabbi Ishmael. So he went in front of Rabbi Ishmael, Vegamar Gamra. And he learned. He learned all the halachot. As she says, Hamishnayot esetumot. Right, he learned all the problematic mishnayot. Kemoshe ketekavadu mirabo, mirabo, mirabo. And then the Gemara says, Vehadar ata lekamed Rabbi Akiva. Then he went back to Rabbi Akiva, Savar Sevara. Then he got the reasons and the logic. Look at that sheet, the Savar Sevara. Let's see. Rashi says, La'amod al ikar ta'ameh ha-mishnah. Which means when he went back to the Rabbi Akiva the last time, so he explained to him the reasons of the Mishnah. Why is this tameh? Why is this tahor? Zeh mutar. Ve'al ma kol davan nismach. And what's the source of each law? Ve'al eze mikra. Ve'zeh Talmud. By the way, that was considered the Talmud that they used to have in the times of the Tanaim. U'la'vin davar metuch davar, to understand, to compare one thing to another. So therefore, let's review Rabbi Meir's history of learning. He started with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was too confusing. Tameh, tahor, tameh, mutar, asu, so on and so forth. So he said, you know what, let me get my Mishnayot clear to get all the laws first. What was said? Went to Rabbi Ishmael for that. After he went, left Rabbi Ishmael, he went back to Rabbi Akiva to get more clarity now in the reasons behind the laws. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Ela asra asra kasha. But we have a question on Rabbi Akiva himself. Initially he told him, no problem when he put the kankatum. In the second version it says Rabbi Akiva told him it's asur. Gemara says kasha. Leave that in the question. Gemara does not offer an answer. That could be there is an answer. It could be maybe Rabbi Akiva changes his opinion from at a later date. But the point is the Gemara leaves that in the contradiction. I want to make one point very clear over here. He came along and he said, I put kankantum in the diyov. So Rabbi Akiva told him at one point, Rabbi Ishmael told him the same thing at another point. You can't do that. Megillat Sota. What does that teach us? That they used to erase the Megillat Sota from the Sefer Torah itself. Which means they didn't write it on a separate parchment. They must have been erasing it from the Torah itself, because he said, I write Sefer Torah and I use Kan Kantum. Oh, how could you do that? Megillat Sota. What's one thing got to do with the other? And it must be that they were erasing it from the Sefer Torah itself. That's a point that has to be made. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer haya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say, Lakol matilim kankantum letoch adiyom. Which means you put kankantum in the ink for everything. Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzot, chutz, meparashat sota bilvad. When they would write the Sefer Torah, yeah? When it came to parashat sota, they would use different ink. No kankantum, in order that it be able to be erased in totality. That's the Bimeir's opinion. Rabbi Yaakov omer mishemo, chutz meparashat sota shel mikdash. He comes up and says, no. When it says chutz meparashat sota, it doesn't mean the parashat sota of the Sefer Torah. It means when they used to write the parashat sota on a klaf in the Beit HaMikdash, so that parashat sota on the klaf, on the parchment, that was written without kankantum. So the first opinion is saying when they wrote it in the Sefer. The second opinion is saying no, when they wrote it on the parchment in the Beit HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and says, Mai benayihu. What's the nafkamina between the two opinions? Amar b'rmiya, limhok la minatorah ika benayihu. Right? The machloket is, do you erase the parasha from the Sefer Torah or not? According to the first opinion, you erase it from the Torah. That's why that parasha cannot be written with kankatum. According to the second opinion, no, they didn't erase it from the Sefer Torah. They erased it even from a klaus. I don't care how you write the Sefer, even with kankatum. The point is, when you write the Megillah, make sure there is no kankatum. The Gemara says, Vahani Tanna'eh. These Tanna'im that we just quoted, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yaakov, right? Rabbi Yehuda, actually, quoting Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov. Hani Tanei ki Hani Tanei are following the following Tanaim. Two Tanaim that have a similar machloket. The Tanya, En Megillata Kesherah Lashkot Ba Sota Acheret. The first opinion says when you write the Megillat Sota, it's only kosher for the lady that you wrote it for. You cannot give it to another lady. The Bi'aha Bar Yoshia Omer Bi'aha Bar Yoshia says Megillata Kesherah Lashkot Ba Sota Acheret. He says no, you can give it to a different Sota. So now the question is, we see over here we have a machloket indeed, on does the Megillah have to be written lishma or not? Correct? So now we can say like this, the opinion that says you have to write the Megillah lishma, it holds that you have to write it on a separate parchment, in order that you could write the Megillah for the sake of that lady. But according to the opinion that you don't need to write it lishma, he'll hold that you can even write it from the Sefer Torah. Because when you wrote the Sefer Torah, you didn't have any lady in mind. Right. So therefore, the mahloket of whether you could use it from the Sefer or not is really another mahloket. Does the Megillat Sota have to be written for the sake of the lady or not? I repeat, if you hold it has to be written for the sake of the lady, then you got to write it on a separate parchment. If you hold it doesn't have to be written for the sake of the lady, then if you wrote it to one, you can use it for another lady. It can even be used from a Sefer Torah itself, because the Sefer Torah was not written for a specific lady. So that's the way the Gemara wants to say that. This mahlukat is interdependent on the mahlukat we just read. Comes the Gemara and says, no. Amar Rav Papa Dilma Lohi. Maybe it's not so. Ad kan lo ka amar Tanakama hatam. That which Tanakama said, that if you write a Megillat Sota for one lady, you can't use it for another. Ela kevan de intik leshum rachel, lo hadram minteka leshum le'ah. That's talking about when you wrote it for the sake of Rachel, for example. Now you can't use it for the sake of Le'ah. However, aval Torah, but maybe he'll agree that you could use a Sefer Torah because distama ketiva. Because the Sefer Torah was written pav, it was written for nobody. Which means it's worse when you write for Rachel and then change your mind and want to do it for Le'ah. But maybe, and the Sefer Torah was written stam, but nobody had it, there was nobody in mind. Maybe that's better. So maybe he'll agree that you can use the Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and I know even another way. Dilma lohi, ad kan lo kamar bi Ahi bar Yoshiah hata. Maybe the Ahi bar Yoshiah that said, if you wrote it for one lady, you could use it for another. Ela b'megila de'ichtiv leshum alot ba'olam. Maybe he was only lenient when you're writing the Megillat Sotah on a separate parchment, because at least you wrote it for the sake of usage of a Sotah, which means you wrote it for the sake of the curses that the Sotah should have. About Torah, maybe he holds that you cannot use the Sefer Torah. You know why? Ditlamet Ketiva. Because when you wrote the Sefer Torah, you didn't write it for the Parashav Sotah to be used. You just wrote it for learning purposes. Maybe you can't erase it, which means do not make these two mahlokot interdependent. I can tell you that what? That even the opinion that says you have to write the Megillah Lishma will tell you you could use the Sefer Torah. Because the Sefer Torah is not a problem. It was written blanket. It was written without a kavanah. And I can tell you the other way. That the opinion that says you don't need Lishma will tell you you can't use the Sefer Torah. Because while you don't need Lishma, but you need the Megillah to be written at least for the purpose of a Sotah. However, the Megillah of the Sefer Torah was not written for the purpose of a Sotah. It was just written for learning purposes. Therefore, you cannot make this Mahloket interdependent. Amz Gemaran says, V'rabbi Achi Bar Yoshia let le katab le garesh et ishto v'nimlach mitzao ben iro v'amar lo shemi kishimcha v'shem ishti kishem ishtecha pasu le garesh bo. You just told me, according to Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, you told me that what? Megillat Sotah that you wrote for one lady, you can use for another lady. That means you don't need lishma by Megillat Sotah. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? Rabahi, you don't agree with the law of Girushin? Halakha, a guy wrote a get to his wife. His name, her name, name of the city. He decided he doesn't want to get divorced anymore. Another guy in the city says, oh, perfect. I have the same name as you. My wife has the same name as you. I've become the city. Can I use it? Everybody holds by a get, you can't use it. So the question then is, why? If you tell me by Sotah, you don't have to have Lishma. So what's the difference between Sotah and get? Now what's the question based on? The question is based on, because it says in the Pasuk, V'chatav La. And the Gemara's Doresh, V'chatav La Lishma. Well, it says the word La also by Sotah. It says ve'asa la, so it should be lishma as well. What's your chiluk between Sotah and Girushin? So the Gemara says, Amri hatam ve'chatav la amar Rahmana. By Gittin it says la, va'inan ketiva lishma. The writing has to be lishma. And since they wrote it for one couple, you can't use it for another. However, achan nameh ve'asala. Oh, here it says ve'asala, which sounds like it also has to be lishma. So the Gemara says, no. My asiya mehika. Which part of the Sotah has to be lishma? The erasing. So therefore, even though it was written for Rahel, now you want to use it for Le'ah, so what? But it says la. Yeah, what needs to be the Shema and the Mechika and the Sotah, the erasing? Once I erase it for the sake of the right lady, it's okay. So that's an intrinsic difference between Sotah and Girushin. Comes the Gemara and continues. Remember we learned in the Mishnah, once they see us starting to blow up, they carry her out of the Beit HaMikdash. They don't want to Metameha. I'll just give you an introduction. The problem that the Gemara is going to have with this over here is, she's in an area that Tum'ah is not a problem. She is standing by the gate of Nicanor, which is right by the Azara. Not only is a person who is Tameh allowed to stand in that section, but the Gemara is going to say even a corpse is allowed to be in that section. Wow. So therefore, what are you worried about? That section, incidentally, in Halakha is called Mahane Leviya. It's called the Leviya section of the Beit HaMikdash. And we know that Mahane Leviya, even a corpse is permissible. So what do you say? You got to rush her out before she dies, so she's going to contaminate the Beit HaMikdash. What's the explanation? So the Gemara says, "Ena maspeket." Actually, I preempted a little. Let's read the Gemara. "Ena maspeket lishtot ad shepaneha." So what do we say? She doesn't drink, right? And then she starts drinking, and all of a sudden her face starts to explode, things like that. Now, let's review. When does the explosion take place? Only after the mincha is brought. Which means she's got to be at the end of the process, because once the mincha is brought, if she has an avon, the mincha now activates the water, so to speak. The mincha is called mezkeret avon. It reminds the avon. It remembers the avon, so to speak. So what is it saying over here? That she starts to explode, they got to bring her out. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author? Rabbi Shimoni. It's got to be Rabbi Shimon that says what? De'amar makriv et minhata ve'arkach mashke. That the order of the sota was, she brings the minha, then she drinks. De'chama de'lo karba minhata lo badke le'maya. Right, until she brings the minha, the waters are not going to work. Dichtiv minhat zikaron mazkeret avon. So you see that the beginning part of the Mishnah has got to be following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that when it says that she's going to blow up and all that, they got to get her out of the Beit HaMikdash. Must be talking about where the Minha was already brought. That follows Rabbi Shimon Shita that says what? That the order of the Sutta was the Minha and then the drinking. No? Because according to the other Shita, the rabbis, they said no. You drink first, then you bring the Minha. So therefore, she would not be blowing up immediately as she's drinking. Our Mishnah is mashma, she puts the water to her mouth and she starts to explode. That must be already that the minha was already brought. Because according to the rabbis, she would drink and then they would bring the minha. So she wouldn't explode immediately when she starts to drink the water. So our Mishnah is following Shitat Rabbi Shimon. Only problem is the end of the Mishnah. Because what does it say at the end of the Mishnah? However, it says, Ema sefa yesh la zichut haita tolela. Atan l'rabbanan. The end of the Mishnah sounds like it's going like the rabbis. Why? The ir Rabbi Shimon ha'amar en zechut tola b'mayim ha'marim. We learned early in the Masechet that Rabbi Shimon doesn't go with suspension. He doesn't go with this business of zechut tola. But our Mishnah said we go with it. So make up your mind. The beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, and the end of the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Usually you don't like to have a Mishnah that's taking one opinion and then contradicting it later on at the end of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no problem, we found the third opinion. Who's the author? Ham Amar of Hazda, Hamani, Rabbi Akivahi. The Amar Makrivit min Hatav, Arakach Mashke, Ubizchut Savala Kerabanan. We found an opinion of Rabbi Akiva. He holds both Shitot. He holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to bringing the Minhad and drinking, and he holds like the rabbis when it comes to Zechut Tola. So the author of our Mishnah, somebody would ask you, is indeed Rabbi Akiva. It cannot be Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Shimon would be contradicting himself. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva comes to Gemara and says, "Vehem omrim otziyuha." They tell her, "Get her out of the Beit HaMikdash." My tama, why you got to get her out of the Beit HaMikdash? The dilma meta, because maybe she's going to die. Lememra de met asur mehane deviya. Are you telling me that a met is forbidden in that section of the Beit HaMikdash? Ve'atanya tamem met mutal lekanes lemehane deviya. Somebody that was contaminated from a corpse is allowed to be in mehane deviya. Ve'lo tamem met mitvad amru ela afilu met atzmo. Even a corpse himself is allowed to be in that section. It says that Yosef that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef with him when they came out of Egypt. What does he mean with him? In his section. Now, where did Moshe Rabbeinu live in the Mishkan? In Mahane Leviyah. And the bones of Yosef are with him. So what do you see? In Mahane Leviyah, you're allowed to have a corpse. Imo. Oh, so if that's the case, why do you got to rush around in the Beit HaMikdash? Amar Abaye Shema Tifros Nida. We're not worried about corpse, but you're worried that in the interim she's going to get scared and she might become a nida. The halakha says that while a corpse is permissible, Gezrat HaKatuv says a corpse is permissible in Mahane Leviyah, but not a nida. And therefore, you got to get her out of here. She might become a nida. Now, why should she become a nida? So the Gemara says, Lememra, Debi'itututam Lirafya. Are you telling me that the fear causes her to get nida? She's getting scared. You're going to tell me that that causes the nida to come? Gemara says, yes, indeed. In. Dichtim vatethalhal hamalka meod ve'amar rav shepirsa nida. We learned by Queen Esther that when she got the news about the impending danger that the Jewish people were in, it says vatethalhal. And the Gemara learns vatethalhal melashon halal, something inside of her. Which means she her nida came. Why? She wasn't expected to get nida, it seems. But the fear caused the nida to come. So similarly over here, you're worried she's about to drink the waters of the sota. She don't know what's going to happen to her. So she might get nervous, and the nida might come. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, "Ve'ha'anantinan harada mesadeket damim." We have another Gemara that says that fear actually causes the nida to go away. The Gemara is over there talking about a lady that's in war. And there's a war taking place, and they're in a bunker, and they're in hiding, and all that. She won't get a nida. Because since she's in a fear, So the nida goes away. So make up your mind. Does fear bring the nida, or does fear stop the nida? So the Gemara makes a difference. The Gemara says, "Pahdat samit bi'ituta b'rafya." Pahad means if it's a constant state of fear, the nida will not come. But a sudden shock or a sudden fear will bring it. Instead, she got shocked suddenly. When Mordecai told her the news, all of a sudden, from nowhere, she got scared. It was a shock. The nida will come. The same thing in this case over here. The lady's about to drink. All of a sudden, the fear grips her. The nida will come. Over there that we say that the nida is held back, that's talking about where it is in a constant state of fear. It is worthy, before we conclude this daf, just to say one bet Torah, one hadush, on this last point of the Gemara. There is a famous question that is asked by the Rishonim. We know that Shevet Levi was the smallest of all the tribes. So the question is, why was that so? Why would the tribe of Levi be the smallest? Different opinions have been given. One opinion is given that the Torah gave a blessing. Kasher ya'anu oto ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz. That the more Paro tortured the Jewish people, the more they multiplied. It seems there was a connection. If you got tortured, you were part of the blessing of being multiplied. Since Shevet Levi was not working, that was the tribe that was exempt from the hard labor, so they didn't have the curse of Kashir Ya'anu, so they didn't have the blessing either of Ken Yirbe V'Chen Yifrotz. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is brought down because the Leviim were in charge of carrying the Aron. We know that the job of carrying the Aron, even though it was a great privilege, it was also very, very risky. Because the Aron is very holy, and the Levim were very zealous, they all wanted to carry the Aron, and as a result they would maybe push each other a little to try to get in there, and there was a little disrespect that was displayed in front of the Aron, and therefore they would die as a result of it. The Gemara says, Ha'aron mechale et nos'av. The Aron would actually destroy those that carried it. So it was again a great privilege, but again with a great risk. And therefore, the tribe of Levi was minimized just because of the risky job that they had. But I saw another interpretation based on an opinion brought down by the Ariza. It says like this, that one of the plagues in Egypt was Makat Dam. And we know that the plagues in Egypt were based on a measure for measure. Midah keneged midah. What was the midah keneged midah on the plague of blood? So the Mefarshim explained as follows. That Paro knew that the Jewish woman, when they become midah, they go to the mikveh. And until they, it seems they had mikveh already, they kept these laws even before the Torah was given. Arat ha-mishpacha. So he said, how do I limit the population? I shut down the mikvaot. Once the lady will become nida, her husband will not be allowed to be with her. And finished. And so without making any sinister plot, I'm able to, you know, limit the population without killing anybody. And I say, it looks good, Paro. Just close the mikvaot and automatically there'll be no more Jews. But Paro, one thing he did not know was this Gemara. The Jewish people were in a constant state of fear because they were working in Egypt. So what was happening? The ladies were not getting the nida. Because we say when you're in a constant state of fear, therefore they didn't need the mikveh. Therefore they were giving birth regardless. They didn't need mikveh, they were able to be with the husbands. But there was one tribe that was not in a state of fear. That's the tribe of Shevet Levi. Since they weren't in a state of fear, their wives were getting nida regularly. And since the mikvaot were closed, their husbands weren't able to be with them. Hence, the tribe of Levi had the smallest amount of numbers. So you see, using this Gemara over here, we can understand exactly what happened to the tribe of Levi. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Olam. Amen ve'amen. Just as a clarity, the kankantum is copper sulfate. Just for those that want to know exactly what the item is again, kankantum, copper sulfate.